Mother's Day, right? And I really appreciate everyone who does our decorations. It's so cool. Like, we had a heck of a time finding mom letters this morning, but it's really crazy because you could spell it mom and you could spell it, it'd mean the same thing. Wow. It's really true. It really is true. And I've told people in a joking way, mostly joking, that I was going to preach to mothers this morning. I was going to talk about your sin. And I said I didn't have time. That's a joke. I do have time. I am going to talk about your sin. But I'm going to talk about your sin in the way that Jesus sees sin. Like, mothers are amazing. Have you ever noticed that? And really, and you know that, 50% of the people that Jesus said had great faith were women. 50% of the people were women. And I think we've grown up in the history of the world, I really do believe this, you've heard me say it, I believe women are the most oppressed people's group in the history of the world. And it's proven out billion times, right? And the truth is, women are very, very special. And before the world was formed, God had you guys in His dreams. Every individual lady, woman that's ever been born, God had a purpose and a plan. He has a destiny for you. And it's like it's all throughout Scripture. You know, I love, here's what I'll talk about today. Because did you know women are perseverant? Did you know that? Stubborn? That's another word for it. Hard-headed, if you want to look at negative words. They're perseverant. And I believe I want to show you in Scripture today, one of the things that God has gifted you with is the ability to not ever let go. Don't let go. Like, I want to show you today that that's how you win this race that you're in. That's how you win this battle you're in. That's how you win in the chaos and the structure and the pressures of life. All you have to do is not let go. And I want to show you in Scripture that, some Scripture about that that I think are really great. Here's one. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you know, remember what happened in the garden, Adam and Eve? Cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. You see, I really believe Satan's only power comes through humans. What are humans made out of? Man was made from dust. Women were made from a finer material than dust. They were made from man. He was refined, and then he got more refined, right? That's what happened there. Ask God to show you the metaphors. Then the Scriptures say, the Lord said, I will put great hostility or enmity in your Scripture, Bible maybe, between you and the woman. God had a plan for defeating the enemy before the world was ever created. And His plan was women. And between your offspring and hers. And He will crush your head. Who's going to crush Satan's head? The offspring of women. And guys, I want you to know, it's not just, this is a metaphor. It's not just having babies, even though that's a great metaphor of the kingdom of God coming in the world through humanity. It's a perfect picture. Having babies, being a physical mother, is huge. But I want to tell you, you girls were created for more than just, and I don't even say just having babies. It's the most immense, amazing thing ever. But the truth is, there's 1,000 things in your life God's wanting to birth into the world through you that will crush Satan's head. And I want you to be encouraged today. We honor you for a reason. And it's not just a, you know, I wish I had the words. As a matter of fact, I want to show you something that's going to take a couple of minutes, a few minutes here. But I wish I could talk like Thomas or Tommy or some of you guys that are real flowery. You know how you talk. They'll say stuff about mothers and it's just like tears start forming in your eyes, you know. I'm not that guy. I don't really know how to do that. So I found a beautiful song I want to play for you guys. A son wrote for his mother. And if you can get it through this song with dry eyes, you're a better man than I am. Okay, so okay, we'll see, Pops. I like rap music, so this is rap. If you don't like it, just pay close attention, you'll get it, okay? So you want to play the song? You see what mothers have to put up with? It's terrible.
Trying to be
my son wrote me a song. He wrote me a song. Are you so serious?
Mm-hmm. All right, just listen. Look, said I don't know where to start with you, mama. Said I'm giving all my heart for you, mama. Get a house, buy a car for you, mama. A lot of times know it's hard for you, mama. Now this the real part. Look, 6:30:01. Carlton Jones II, my, you had your last son. Then you had Faith. First you had Brandon. Three kids, one parent. You was always caring. Struggling with money. Streets was really daring. I always saw you crying. I was only staring. Looking at you now, cause I'm real, real proud. Love talks itself and we was real, real loud. Saw you on stage, moving with the crowd. Seen my sister smile. Man, it's been a while. Slow down the pace. We spent our whole life racing, then we finally won a race. This is our win. Look at the smile on your face. I love this new light. I know how big in this taste. I'm sorry for the pain. I'm sorry for the games. I'm sorry for the troubles. I can't even complain. You tried your best, devil, trying to get you. God put you to the test. Working all these hours, you ain't put your dreams to rest. You ain't getting no rest because you up all night and you praying for us. Let us win this fight. I know Pop's all right. Looking down on us, but we way up now. God put a crown on us. Seeing you for Christmas didn't last that long. It was a day and a couple hours you was taking me home. Couldn't tell you this up front, so I made you a song. Felt like I was all alone, but you was making me strong. After our first goodbye, man, I cried so long. I know you still love me, and I love you too. Look, rapping through the phone, said my raps was great. That was 2010, soon you gonna be up on the stage. Soon we can fly on a plane and we can just get away for everything that you done for me. You deserve a real nice break. We started in the floor, now we at the heaven gates. They say music make the pain go, but it still don't stop. Hope that rain don't drop, so that smile won't wash, mama. Let's get back how we used to be. No more every other weekend, no more couple nights and I'm leaving. Cause I'ma be here for good, and I'ma keep counting goods. And then I'ma get you a Benz. And I'ma get you a house. And I'ma get you a bed. And throw that old mattress out. And we gon' start counting bread. We drive on paper route. Look, said I don't know where to start with you, mama. Said I'm giving all my heart for you, mama. Get a house, buy a car for you, mama. A lot of times know it's hard for you, mama. Through the struggles and the pain and the hard times. Walked in puddles in the rain in a dark time. I sit at my window pane, you my sunshine. This is our time, this is your time. So let's keep on pushing forward. You my key, you are my motor. You drive me when I am low. Told me yes when they said no. They told me stop, you told me go. Go chase your dreams, go chase your dreams. Yeah. So I love you, mama. Stay when everybody left. So I trust you, mama. Happy Mother's Day. First love.
Thank you.
Power off.
Oh my God. That is so, like, beautiful. Like,
Colton Jones.
You are so freaking blessed and talented. Like,
you know, only mothers understand the struggle that lady went through. She lost her husband. She had no money, raising boys. And, you know, when you sleep on a bed that really nobody should be sleeping on, so your kids will have shoes. And she originally looked for her help in brandy. Y'all probably don't know what that is. It's an alcoholic beverage. And then her son watched her light come on when she found faith. And I guess he's some kind of big wig rapper. He's got money now. He bought her stuff, you know. But It's true. Moms, mothers, and this isn't just for women. Men birth things too, right? It may be a business. It may be an idea. It may be a ministry. It may be a school. Men birth things. And it's interesting. Mothers tend to fall in the same sin. They do. Y'all do. And you know what the sin is? You remember what sin is? Sin is being separated from God, relational separation. It's not smoking pot. You know, it's not things. It's relationship. You know what? Mothers have this amazing gift to see details, to look around and know what a child needs or a family needs or a business needs or something needs. Mothers have this amazing ability to compare themselves with, in their own minds, to compare themselves with other mothers, to compare their children with other children, and that's how they can tell whether they were a good mother or a bad mother. Mothers struggle. You guys struggle with believing in yourself, with actually believing that God handpicked you for who, where you are, what you're doing, where you are right now. And so you have all these ways you judge yourself, ways you're sensitive to that most of us guys don't even have a clue what you're judging yourself about. We just don't even understand. But it's your gifting. It's an amazing gifting God's given you that the enemy takes and uses against you. And so I just want to show you a couple of mothers today. And this is not condemning. Maybe you can read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul was talking to the church in Corinth who were getting led astray. They were being led back into the bondage of the law. And Paul told them, he said, I hope you'll put up with me with a little foolishness here. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ. I love the fact the songs we sang today. It recenters us. If you'll pay attention, the worship songs will recenter you in what's important. So he said, I promised you to Christ that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him. Relationship. A single relationship. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning mind, by the serpent's cunnings, your minds, mom, ladies, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, what the enemy tricked Eve with was he could have said a lot of different things, right? He said, you've been deceived, and then he tells you what you were deceived from. Basically, he's saying, this is what's important, guys, and you've allowed the enemy to come back in again and convince you that you're not enough. Okay. Make your minds understand this. If you add to you something that's not in you to be acceptable to God, then you're saying you're not enough. And the enemy said, Eve, if you'll just eat from this tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Your ability to judge. Yeah, she can sing better than you. She has better color, whatever, than you. She has a whatever. I don't even know how you judge yourselves. It's so crazy to me. But whatever it is, I know how men judge themselves. It's easy. We're like black and white. But you guys are multicolored. And it's like you can judge yourselves in so many ways. And so anything in you, the deception Satan used on her was, Eve, you need to do more. For God to love you. You're not doing enough. You're not trying hard enough. Eve, you make mistakes. Eve, you went too far. Eve, look at the women on TV. You're not like them. And every time the enemy does that and we begin to judge ourselves again, we've just gotten deceived from the only thing that God cares about. And it's what Paul said, your sincere, pure devotion to Christ. That's what matters. You see, the enemy says you need to do more. The enemy says you've done too much. Those voices are coming from the same devil that tricked Eve. And it was, he lied to her. Those voices aren't right. You don't let those voices say, work in your head and say, oh, my kids will be better off with a different mother. I'm not good enough. I'll never do enough. I should have done this. You see, I should be like her. Don't let the enemy say those things to you. It's a lie. It's the sin that women struggle with every day. And it's the most effective tool the enemy has. He used it in the very beginning against Adam and Eve, and he's still using it today against women and men, but primarily women. Don't let the enemy tell you you're not enough. Don't let him tell you that. That's the devil. Don't let the enemy tell you it's too late. Don't let him say that. Yeah, but look at my age. Shoot, I'm 40. I'm over the hill. I'm 65. I'm over the hill. I'm 85. That's the enemy telling you that. Don't let him say that. Don't let him tell you that it's too late. Don't let him convince you that you've messed up too much. You didn't have the right upbringing. You didn't have the right foundation in your life. You made so many mistakes. You'll never, ever. Don't let the enemy say that to you. Don't let the enemy trap you into the comparison game that we live with every day you're awake, every moment of your life. You live with that, right? So, I want to show you, because there's so many women in the Bible that we could look at. The main thing I want you to leave here with today is this. Listen, you win if you don't let go. Don't let go. You win. And I want to show you that in Scripture. You love this verse. You know this. When the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be with child. And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. You guys know, you mothers know this, especially you that have older kids or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Listen, the journey just starts when you have that baby. Right? That was a battle. I'm not saying that's easy. It sure wasn't easy for Mary. The name-calling, the poverty in her life, it was hard to be who she was. And the truth is, Mary never let go of that promise. You know, when you look at this, you go to Luke chapter 2, verse 33. After the baby was born, they brought him back to the temple, and they ran into the prophet. And Mary and Joseph, they were talking to the prophet Simeon. Mary and Joseph stood there awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Their baby. He wasn't even 2 weeks old. And this prophet is saying all this stuff about their baby. And they're just blown away. And he blessed them. And then he prophesied over Mary. He said, Mary, I've got great news for you, moms. Now, there was another prophecy about Mary back in Genesis, right? Your offspring, Mary, what you birth is going to crush Satan's head in this world. There was already a prophecy about her. And then look what this angel said. Oh, Mary, you're so lucky. A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being. What? What? And then he says what it is. Your child will be rejected. Who else knows the pain of that besides a mom? Of your child being rejected by society, by their friends. Your child being different. Your child not being whatever pressure the society's putting on you. Your child not having the newest car. Your child not having good clothes. Your child not having a voice like other people. Your child being bald-headed. It's the worst curse of all. You know, I try to take the attention off of me. for now, or at least another few years anyway. But it's like, isn't that terrible? Your child being rejected, Mary. You see, because it's not about not having pain. It's about what's going to be. There's a victory coming that mothers hold on to. Mary held on to that promise. She knew her son was going to be the light of the world. But in the process, she was going to suffer. Ways that I really can't describe, you know. I thought that guy that wrote that song for his mama, he did a good job. He watched the pain his mother went through, and he realized how much pain he had cost her. She spent nights worrying about him, wanting him to come out of that. And, you know, she held on. Moms, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't let go of Jesus. Every time I say don't let go, what I'm talking about is Jesus. Hold on to him. You see, you have promises he's made you. Don't be confused and hold on to the promise and let go of the promise. Because his promise is eternal. It's beyond the natural. And I've seen mothers encounter that. It hurts. Don't let the pain you're going through with what God's put inside of you. You see, and this could be a dream. Maybe it's not a child. It may be a business. It may be a dream. It may be a path God has put in your heart. And it hurts whenever that people put you down, when people don't believe in you, when people tell you, like that boy in that song. He said, Mama, when nobody else believed in me, you told me to do it. And he did it. You see, the world needs someone that believes in it. I really appreciate you guys. I don't know if y'all realize, we used to have like 300 plus people in this room. We'd have two services and it'd be rocking and rolling in here, right? And now we have 80 or whatever, however many. I don't know how many is here today, but something like that. And I want to tell you, I know part of it is because God has put on our hearts, we're going to preach the truth that people are good and God is good. And he is enough no matter what circumstance you're going to. Whether he heals you physically or whether you go into the other realm and through the door into heaven. That God is good and people are good and your children are good and your grandchildren are good. And God has a purpose and a destiny for this world. And he loves people. He doesn't hate anybody. Y'all know I've got that burning inside of me. And I know when I say it, that it's part of the reason there's not 300 people jammed in this room right now. But I want to tell you this. I want you to know. Gosh, you could even say this. It's hard to have babies, right? But when you have a baby, you need somebody that believes in you. It sure helps. Nobody wants to have a baby alone. You need somebody who's going to say, I'm with you, I'm for you, even if this is hard. And you guys are that to me. Y'all actually, I mean, except for the three of you that are going to walk out today, y'all actually want me to preach this. And I heard, it's funny, Melissa Smith, who isn't Smith anymore, I couldn't understand you. Yeah, oh, Arnold. I got it, Melissa Arnold. She was here for the ladies' potato bar worship night, and she made a point to come find me. And she told me, she said, thank you for being positive and uplifting about who we are and who God is. She said, I thank you for saying that. I was like, you know, Melissa, you just helped me to keep saying it. And you guys are all helping birth this reality in me, I think. So anyway, that's has nothing to do with mothers other than we all birth things. We all do. And it is a hard process, right? So that's what he said. Now, Mary's not over. Here's another thing about Mary. You realize this, don't you, moms? When Jesus went to the cross, after he had been beaten with the cat of nine tails, after he had been beat up and pulverized, and he's going to the cross, barely alive already, and near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Why did John go to the trouble to put that in the scripture? I think because Jesus needed to see his mom there. You know, the men all left him. And it wasn't just his mom. It's so funny who John writes here. His mother's sister, and then Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, you know what he did, right? You can read it. He looked at John, who's writing this, said, John, that's your mom now. Mom, that's your son now. He'll take care of you. That's a big deal. And maybe to get the power and the strength to stand up and stand and go through what he went through, he needed someone that wouldn't let go. Moms, you want to win this race? All you have to do is don't let go of Jesus. Don't let go. And whether you see it on this earth or you see it on the other side, you win. There's nothing more important than that. I've seen it 1,000 times in personal, just with men and women. When your back's against the wall, you know what you need to do? You need to look into his eyes. Love itself. And when you look into his eyes, the pain goes away. The chaos goes away. The doubt goes away. And there's a supernatural life that comes from him into you. And you were created to take life in and to give life away. So don't quit. Jesus' mama never quit. She was there with him at the cross. I can't imagine how hard that was for her. That was not a happy birthday party of a 3-year-old. That was her son who was rejected by the world. And you get then the centurion, this is Matthew 27, Matthew's record of the same event. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. And y'all know the crucifixion story. It's like worldwide, everybody in the whole world knows it. Well, guess what Matthew wrote? There were many women there watching from a distance. It wasn't just Mary and her 3 or 4 friends. Because many women, since Jesus started his ministry until that day, you know, and it says, they took care of his needs. Moms, that's not a belittled job. That's not a job that's, well, I want to be Peter. I want to stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost. That's greater. Listen, these women, they wrote it in Scripture. They were there and they were meeting his needs. They were caring for him. And then, you know, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Zebedee's sons got named. Girls, you know how you win this race? Don't let go of Jesus. Don't get confused. Don't, you know, it's funny. I was going to... I would love to do this passage out of 2 Kings chapter 4. In that passage, there was a lady in that Old Testament passages in that chapter of 2 Kings. She was married to a rich man, very wealthy man, who lived about 5 hours away from the prophet Elisha. And Elisha would travel through there, and she was a very sensitive, observant lady. And she said, listen, this prophet, this man of God's coming through here, let's build a room on our house for him. Let's build a room up on the roof. And that way, when he comes through here, he'll have somewhere he can sleep besides out in the fields. And so they built him a room, and Elisha would come, and he would come, and he would stop there and sleep because he was going to a place he went to a lot. And one day, Elisha, being a sensitive man, it took him 4 or 5 years probably to get it. One day, he's like, you know, this lady has done so much for us. He had a servant. He said, go ask her what she needs. If she needs something from the king or if she needs something from the commander of the armies. Because Elisha was a man of power in Israel. He was the prophet in Israel. And the lady said, listen, basically she said, I have my family. I have everything I need. I don't need anything. And so he goes back and reports to Elisha. And Elisha says, well, surely there's something she needs. And he said, well, Her husband's old, and she doesn't have a son. Ladies, some of you need to hear, like, I'm serious about don't let go of Jesus. That's all that matters. That's how you win. But what happens if you've been hurt? Then you don't even want to hold on. You see, this lady, Elisha's servant, said she doesn't have a son. And in their world, that was everything. Didn't matter how much money, lands, power you had. If you didn't have an heir, if you didn't have a son, if you didn't give your husband an heir, you were a failure. So the Elisha's servant told him, and he said, call her here. And she came and he said, listen, this time next year, by this time next year, you'll have a son. And she said, oh, sir, don't promise me something that's going to break my heart. Because that would break her heart. Do you know what disappointment is? I think some of you moms have been disappointed. You're disappointed. And you're like her. God, don't promise me that. Don't promise me something that's going to break my heart. And Elisha said, it's done. Well, y'all know what happened. If you read that 2 Kings, she had a son before that time. The son grew up. Son's growing up. One day the son goes out into the fields with his dad who runs everything. And his dad, the son, the scriptures, people think he had a sunstroke, heat stroke or something. But a servant takes a son into his mother. You know, her promise, right? That's her promise. Listen, don't get confused with the promise, who is him, and the things. See, her son was a thing, but this is a picture. You see, her son died. She held him until noon, and he died. And she took her son, and he put him upstairs in the prophet's room that she had made and laid him on his bed. She went to the prophet. And the prophet, you know, you didn't see women like that. You just didn't go into a prophet. And so he didn't want to see her. He told his servant to take his staff and go lay it on the boy. And the lady, she was so funny. The lady said, 2 Kings 4:30, she wouldn't let go of him. And I think this is a picture of you and the Lord. She said, you can send your staff, you can send your servant, but I'm staying with you. I'm not going to let you go. She said that, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not let you go. See, moms, you can trust him. Don't get so focused on the promise as you lose the promise. And she held on to him. And Elisha, finally, he went. Traveled 4 or 5 hours. Went into the room with the boy. And it's an interesting story. Laid on him, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. It was a process for that boy to rise from the dead. But he did. It was a process. And I think we limit God by not having patience and trust. And we're not willing to go through the process. You know what she did? She didn't know anything that was going to happen. She just wouldn't let go. Moms, you want to win? Doesn't matter how smart you are, what you give your kids, what you don't give them, whether you make mistakes or not. What matters is, are you going to hold on to him? Don't let go, and you'll be the perfect mother for your kids. And you don't have to, it doesn't matter. You can start right now. See, today, you can repent of this sin in your life, the sin of self-judgment, the sin of comparison. You can repent of that. You can choose to trust God, that he handpicked you for your child. I don't care what it looks like. That's not faith. Faith is trusting God, not your eyes. She knew her son was dead. She trusted God. And I don't know if God's going to raise your kid from the dead during your lifetime or after your lifetime. That doesn't matter. God will raise him from the dead. I don't know if it'll be in heaven. It doesn't matter. You see, God's looking for women who have great faith. And you'll see eternal life is a supernatural power that lets you walk in joy and peace even in a storm. Even in a storm. I've seen it. That one of those songs we were singing is so, to me, it breaks me because I've seen it so many times. I've seen people who are broken, the worst trauma you ever could imagine, men and women, and they're in chaos or they're in anxiety or they're in total consumed with fear and everything's hopeless and they want to die. And I've seen them when Jesus comes to them and he looks them in the eye, I've seen them change. Nothing changed out here, but something changed in here. Jesus wants to look you in the eye. Don't let go. Don't let go. He's greater than any problem you have. He's greater than any circumstance you face. He's greater than anything that's ever happened to you in the past. He's greater than anything. Don't let go. And if you don't let go, you get to experience his look, which will change everything. So moms, it's amazing what God does. The metaphor of birth. And you know what? There's some men out there with me too that we need to not let go either. We have things we're birthing. Maybe not babies, but we're birthing things. And God wants you to hang on. He wants you to hang on. And if you won't let go of him, you'll experience supernatural life and abundant life. We weren't called. Dana got that word for today. You're not called to just survive. We're called to thrive in this world. Jesus is greater than anything. So I appreciate you as a people, Grace Fellowship, like Patrick said. Y'all give me the ability to keep believing. Even if it doesn't look like it, it doesn't matter. I believe God's good. I believe he will meet you. He will meet you if you don't let go. Okay? Amen. Moms, one more thing. There are flowers. The usher is going to give you a potted plant when you leave. It's beautiful. Miss Kay picked it out. She's out of town today, but it's really nice. I think they're really pretty. I love flowers. If you don't like flowers, take it anyway and give it to somebody who'll like it, you know? So whatever. And there's plenty out there, so I think there's enough for all the ladies. Even if you're not a mother, I think there's plenty. You can have one. And you men, keep your hands off of them. These are for the ladies, okay? And let's all stand up, if you don't mind. So let's pray for a second. I'd love for him to look into your eyes. Come on up, Rick. The ministry team's come on up. I'd love for you to experience yourself what I can't describe. Something happens when you look in his eyes. Peace comes. Joy comes. Healing comes. Fear goes away. And I'm going to tell you, demons tremble. They don't have anything on Jesus, right? So this morning, I want to ask the Lord to show you, it's just on my heart, if you've given up dreaming, like that lady, the Shunammite woman, she said, don't, I don't want to dream. She had probably dreamed of having a son 1,000 nights, and it never happened. She didn't want to dream anymore. She didn't want to be disappointed again. Listen, Jesus is where you take your disappointment. I don't know what he'll do, but I know it'll be life and he'll be love. So this morning, I'm going to ask the Lord to show you if you're holding on to a disappointment that you need to let go. So let's pray. So Father, so just allow Jesus to come. Just wait for a second. So Jesus, would you show each of us if we're carrying the pain of disappointment? Unfulfilled dreams, chronic pain, disability, broken relationships. So God, would you just open up each one of our hearts right now? God, would you show each one of us what that disappointment's causing, what that's causing in our lives? So Jesus, I just ask you to come now. So this morning, if you're here and you'd like help with that, these guys up here want to pray with you. I believe that one thing that's true, it's funny, mothers are doers, right? You guys are doers. There's something supernatural about acting on what's in here. Chemically, you change. Physically, you change. Spiritually, you change. We feel like even taking communion is one of those acts where you go and you say, Jesus, you're enough. Jesus, you're enough. I think that he wants to meet some of you through communion this morning, that take your pain, take the disappointment, and take it to the table. And that Jesus will meet you when you do that act. Some of you need to be prayed for by somebody. These guys would love to pray with you this morning. I really do believe, moms, that your children, what you're birthing, is crushing Satan's head. He is. Jesus is. You just have to don't let go. Don't let go. You're important to me and to the world. So God, I just thank you for Mother's Day, the day when mothers are honored. I thank you that in Scripture there's so many examples of women who brought life to their families, to their country, to the world. So Jesus, I just say bless. Bless, encounter, move in mothers' lives today. All over the world, God. Here at Grace, in this city, in this state. Just bring your kingdom. Bring your kingdom here and now. Amen. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to give to the children's ministry. It's going to be good what's coming. Yay, Pat.